This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi, everyone.
I really want to fart.
Do you want
to do it into the mic?
I'm not good at
it. All right, okay. Welcome back, everyone, to TVI. Episode 130.
It's a kind of class establishment you brought me to. Thank you.
Lock you in a portal cabin, and then Julian goes, I'm going to fart.
Welcome.
All right, welcome back, everyone.
I don't mute my mic.
Episode one. I've been wondering that for 132 episodes. That's what it should be called. Welcome to the podcast. How do you mute Julian? With me, Carl Donnelly, and guest Marcus Birdman.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you very much.
You just said we were doing a Patreon thing, recording pre this, where we followed your journey.
Did you?
Well, because yeah.
What do you mean, like
live
traffic,
metaphorically, or just the traffic?
Just when you said Oxford Circus was shut, we did like a where's he now?
I see. Where's Wally?
Turns out it was actually not as tricky as it
looked. No, it wasn't.
I thought a Victoria line was out, and we were like, he's not going
to
be here forever.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, that's a gamble, and I'll walk to Green Park, because it's nice. Quite civilised. I get to walk through the Burlington Arcade.
I love the Burlington Arcade.
Sexy.
I walked through it the other day, and there's a little James Bond pop-up.
Yes, still is.
What's it called? Champagne Bar, which is a bit wanky, and it's not as... It's not as posh as it looks.
No.
It was just slip in there. It was just full of 3 hours.
It's full of tosses, though, isn't it?
It's full of.
Oh,
quite like it.
Oh, that place I go.
It's a member.
Yeah, actually, what's in there working?
Yeah.
Gaming.
You're a consultant on designing the place. But they, all the people that were in there when I walked past were basically just tourists who were shopping.
Posh tourists.
Yes. Because obviously the Burlington Arcade is
Where's that Regent Street now?
Mayfair.
Ah, okay.
So it runs between...
Well, you don't know it.
Piccadilly. Yeah.
You big farting pig.
Where's Mayfair?
You're not allowed to fart in Mayfair.
I thought there was a magazine.
I've ever told you about when Jimmy McGee, comedian and person who gets mentioned now and again on this podcast, but will never ever
Sauna
come on it.
Sauna goer with me at the weekend.
Jimmy's from, you know, from quite a posh background. Mm. But then he's one... I feel bad for Jimmy because he's got one of them posh backgrounds where, like... He hasn't really got any money, but he's got the education and the accent.
Yeah. That's all you need. Yeah.
Jimmy.
If you want to pay rent.
Yeah, exactly. But he still has like posh person tastes.
Sure.
So we went shopping for John Hastings' wedding suit. Mm. And John has the opposite. John wanted to get like a fucking H&M
Foster's
suit.
All the way.
For about 30 quid. Mm-hmm. Jimmy was like, I'll take you to my tailor in Mayfair. And I was like, why don't we go to, like, if you want to check out a couple of nice shops, check out Hugo Boss or whatever, because he had a bit of a budget. Mm. So I was like the middle ground between the two. And at one point we were looking for a tie, and Jimmy goes, oh, I know, I'll take you to my tie shop.
My tie guy.
And we went to one in Mayfair. I think it wasn't Burlington Arcade, it was another arcade in Mayfair. And we're walking in, and John wanted a slim tie, right? And we went in.
So did Jimmy. Jimmy's ordered that on a few occasions.
We've all been drunk in fucking Phuket before, mate. But we were going to this. It was a proper Tory-looking Thai shop, yeah. Little thing in a posh arcade. And just about to walk in, Jimmy turned around and went, just so you know, guys, they are cunts in here. Like that. That was the warning before going into a shop. And I didn't know what he meant. I was like, what are you talking about? They're cunts. And we walked in, and the guy behind the counter looked like a sort of, you know, almost cunt. Like a caricature Tory young person, like 21-year-old Tory. Them 21-year-olds look 50. Like big glasses, terrible mop haircut.
Blazer.
Sports blazer with like a chino. And John, we were all looking around at the ties. We couldn't find any slim ones. They all had them fat Tory ties. And then John just said to me,
don't
what, a skinny one? No, that's like, no. No, I do not know how to use a tie, Julian. They would have hated you in this shop. Yeah. So I said to John.
I used to do a nice Windsor knot.
Yeah, Windsor knot's nice.
What's a Windsor knot?
It's a special way of tying it. Yeah.
I'll check you out.
I had to learn how to do that for an audition once and didn't get it, but I still know how to do the fucking thing.
Well, what is it?
How to do
something. It's a certain type of, you know, rather than the, it's a twice around.
Yeah. And you go through once and round again.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Rabbit goes through the hole.
Yeah. Something like that.
And it just creates a much more even tie knot than a normal sort of star.
Okay.
But we went in and John said, I can't see any skinny ties. And I said, I'll ask. And I went up to this striking guy and I went, hey, mate, my friend's looking for a tie for his wedding. He actually wants something a bit skinnier. And I hadn't finished the word skinnier. And he went, we don't do those here, like that. And me and John burst out laughing at how rude
he was. We
need
to go in there and wind them up one day.
But it's so funny because the way Jimmy said it, they are cunts here. I was like, of course they're not. And then literally they were. I was like, they are, all right, they are cunts. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you said that.
We don't do
right,
that.
Right, Jimmy, they are cunts in here.
Jimmy, mate, yeah, they're cunts, aren't they?
Spot on.
Me and John just laughed and walked out like little kids. But that part of, it's a weird, that, I don't feel comfortable in that. We went to a Savile Row tailor. Have you ever been to a Savile Row tailor? Like, they just, all the suits, they've got that fit of like a, you know, a 70s sort of counsellor. You know what I mean? You see on the news, the trousers are a bit too fucking wide.
Yeah. But you can ask for the cut you want.
You can, but they're experts, and that's what they're.
I want short sleeves, please.
You ever seen the photo of
I
Chris
Roger
Eubank?
Moore safari suit.
Chris Eubank. Is he in there? There's a photo of him on the online in a short sleeve suit.
Brilliant.
It looks disgusting. Like properly
but on a good on a like on Roger Moore.
Well, if it's the '70s and it's a safari suit, but this was Chris Eubank about 2 years ago in Brighton,
you, he riding looked. A horse
over someone.
Because you're a sartorial guy,
like a bit of schmatter, yes.
You always dress very well.
Thank you very much.
You can you can wear a trouser fit that a lot of men can't pull off.
Which is what
like. You know,
careful.
A wide trouser.
A wide trouser.
Mm. You know what I mean? Because you wear a skinny jean. Mm-hmm. I tend to go for a skinny jean, slim chino. You can wear outrageous shapes of trouser. And I think it's because you sort of, you've got a good shape, but also you've got the confidence to pull it off.
Would you go for a boot cut?
No. Not that. No, let's not take that
You're not
far.
John Robbins.
or Kenny Rogers.
Just to clarify, that sounded like a real insult to John Robbins. He's a mate and he does wear boot cut jeans. He wears a terrible shape of jeans.
Well, and that Freddie Mercury yellow outfit. I mean, you're not noticing the jeans when he's got that jacket on.
What he had smart. John Robbins, to his credit, has smartened up. He used to dress like every sort of student in the late 90s.
Yes,
that was his style forever.
It's not a character assassination on
him. Not at all.
He's
lovely guy.
Yeah, he hasn't become the trendiest guy in the world. He's just sorted his shit out a bit. But he used to love a bootcut jean.
Yeah,
bootcuts are making a bit of a comeback.
I used to be in like 2000. I got a tailored suit and I got a bootcut trousers.
A bootcut trousers suit.
2001.
That was too late for us. Bootcut suit.
I tailored with my. I think I spoke about it before. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I loved that suit.
What colour was it?
Black. Silk lining. Julian Deane written in.
Bootcut trousers.
Bootcut trousers.
I mean, that would probably now look quite trendy.
I mean, it did then. What do you mean?
I mean, then it must have been an embarrassment to put on in public.
I didn't know that's coming back.
He played a long game then.
No, but you know, like a wide trouser.
Way ahead of my time.
Not boot cuts, but flares are sort of now
Boot cut was in like 2000, I remember.
Yeah, I know, they were actually. That's
what boot cut is like the person who's not courageous enough to wear a flare, isn't it, really?
Or if you're an actual cowboy.
Or you're a cowboy.
I've got a lovely pair of Wrangler dress pants. Mm. Which that's a boot cut because it's made for.
But it's different, isn't it?
Cowboys
not in denim when it's got a bit of a sort of swing to
this
it.
This is a trouser. Nice. Yeah, it's a trouser.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you shop for clothes?
TK Maxx mostly.
For real, yeah.
Mostly, it's you get a lot of stuff.
Paul's favourite place.
I've had loads of stuff from there.
I like a drinking bottle out of there.
Yeah, mustard. mustard in TK.
That's a place to go. and a pack of jelly beans that are just on the edge of going off. So they're a pound.
And a 4 meter USB cable. Can't wear that. That's a thin tie.
Got to be a 4 meter.
Headphones with loads of spikes coming out of their ears. And a tent.
And a vase.
I like it's one of the things where I'm sure Frankie Boyle once said it. He said people think comedians spend all their days when they're on tour, like in a hotel rooms writing or something, or going to museums. He said it's not. You're basically just walking around TK Maxx, and he's absolutely because TK Maxx you can kill
a lot. It's a jumble set.
An hour and a half,
easily, without
trying too hard.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was born out of that of just slightly wasting time in city centres, and then. You kind of realise that this, if you search, you can find some quite good clobber there.
Do you know the
You're
secret?
Prepared to search.
The secret to getting really good stuff.
Shoplift.
In TK Maxx.
Is wedge it up your boot cut jeans. And no
yeah, with three pairs of jeans on.
But is to go to a shit area. Yeah. I know it sounds very judgy. It's three people sitting in London.
Liverpool.
Right?
But, and Sheffield.
But even like go to the outskirts. You know when you go to them cities and you go to them like sort the of weird like shopping parks on the outskirts where you've driven past the big Tesco's. You think, I need to go and get a snack. And there's a TK Maxx there and a fucking Dreams bed shop. Mm. You know what I mean? And like a Curry's PC World. Mm. Go to the TK Maxx there. Because the people that live in them little towns on the outskirts dress like dog shit. So they've all gone in and bought all the moody fucking just checked shirts. And you will pick up like the maddest deal. You'll pick up a nice pair of Levi's, sort of nice crisp cut for 30 quid. You'll get like a fucking lovely, like, you know, sort of Harrington jacket, Ben Sherman one for 20 quid. Because they ain't going to dress like that, are they?
Yeah. Well, I got this leather Levi's leather jacket off one exactly one of those.
Yeah,
you know, you drive into Liverpool and there's exactly that outfit there, and there's a TK Maxx there full of all the clobber that none of us residents want.
You look around, everyone's just in sportswear, isn't it, or like sort of moody. You know, that's just like, just bad. Not to, and again, it is judging. So I've just realised. I said it's not
just
judging.
Slating them off.
Yeah. They all look like shit. I'm not judging, but
no, not in a bad way.
They're all just embarrassing to look at, but you know, it's not in a bad way.
Cringe.
But yeah, that is my biggest tip for TK Maxx. Go, but obviously you don't want to travel for it. Mm. Not going on a world tour of TK Maxx's to buy it. But also you have got to commit to the time to look through each item.
It's a jumble sale that you've got.
I did
look
it
through everything.
Yeah. I was in Glasgow the other week.
It's not organised well, is it?
No.
Like the clothes.
And also, the sizes, they're arranging sizes, but fucking, they're never real. Yeah, I mean, you'll always find, if you look, always check the size either side as well. You'll find one that's actually your size that's been incorrectly.
Some geezer's wearing.
Always check everyone
just
in
check
the shop.
Check the customer's labels in the queue.
In Glasgow. I stupidly went for a weekend to Glasgow and I only brought the jeans I was wearing. I thought, I'll just commit to it, I'll be fine. They were dark jeans. I was like, what?
Shit your pants.
Yeah, day one on the plane. I shit
some
myself.
New jeans.
We hit turbulence and I shat my fucking pants. But basically it just pissed down with rain. Got soaked on the first day, like to the point where I knew they weren't going to dry before the gig.
Right.
So I did an emergency TK Maxx run.
Done that, exactly.
I found a lovely pair of Levi 511s for 30 quid.
Nice.
That is.
Do you wear them often now? Good bargain.
I've worn them once since. And I am doing that thing where they need a couple of washes to just get to the right
to
feel.
To be clean again.
To get the shit off from the gig that night. I shat myself again.
Tough crowd. Hate them crowds that make you shit your pants.
Has anyone ever shit? I reckon I've...
Shit yourself on stage.
I've almost
on
shit stage. My... When you've got like a bit of like a dodgy
shit
tummy.
In your bum.
I don't know. You could ask every guest comes in. It might take you a few episodes to find that out, but someone has.
Yeah, I
statistically,
reckon.
Statistically, someone's.
I've been dying to go piss before on stage.
And it's sort of, it's
good
all right.
Story. At least I got a good story out of it. But,
wasn't it Tony Blair used to say that? He used to go, whenever he had an important speech, he'd hold in a piss.
Really?
It takes a distraction.
And it also,
but
no, it also gives you a sort of...
it makes you invade Iraq illegally.
Yeah. Just start invading everywhere.
Incredibly rash and just make bad decisions. Maybe he said in speeches it gave him a sort of nervous energy almost that really sold it and made it sort of more urgent to what he was saying.
Yeah.
Which is quite a cynical thing to admit, but
yeah,
it does make sense, you know. So, yeah, next time, maybe hold a shit.
You want to do an urgent comedy set? Well, you've got a lot of urgency in it.
Yeah.
Don't go piss.
Peg the wee. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I definitely have almost shit myself on stage. I got food poisoning just before a comedy store set once. God. And I vomited and shat just before going. I timed it. Like, I did one about it. It kicked in half an hour before I was to do on stage. I was on first. And I felt everything was going to come out. So I went, both ends evacuated. And then I basically timed it so just before I was due on stage, like the compere literally was about to start, like, you know, doing right, we're starting the show in a set. I ran into the toilet and just like blah, everything out, and then was empty to go on. And that gave me like my 20 minute window of not shitting and vomiting.
And you wiped it afterwards after the set.
You left your boot trousers off.
Just ain't got time.
And how did the gig go?
It was fine. It was fine. I still had that sort of, you know, when you do that post vomit. Euphoria.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So nice, isn't it? You sort of just go like, oh.
Just try and do that every set.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There must be, it's something to that. I don't know what the science is, but when you feel sick and you get
sick. It's because your body's expelled. Healed. Yeah.
It must be adrenaline, do you think?
Yeah.
To do that physical, it's quite hopeful.
Your body needs adrenaline.
It must be adrenaline.
But when you're hungover, that vomit, you know,
it's brilliant.
You feel so bad up to it, and then you just feel like, I can do anything. Until 10 minutes later, you're doing it again.
You're crying.
But anyway, we should talk. You're talking of illnesses.
We're not. Which leads us to.
Probably since last time you were. You've been on this podcast.
I haven't actually. I've been on your other one.
Oh, you went
Chris.
On the old one with Chris. Yep. But since then.
That was so much better, that one.
This is the new. You've not been on the new improved one.
The one we took about shitty bums for an hour.
Chris was above that.
Yeah.
Chris farts.
I bet he does, yeah.
He does, actually. He farts, I think, in front of his wife.
Does he?
I'm sure
we've discussed
it.
No, never.
Do you fight in front of Chris's wife?
No, I don't. I've got a rule that I don't fight in front of my wife. That
That's
is
nice.
Yeah.
Does she fight in front of you?
No. We've got like a.
What
sort
do you
of,
do?
Hold
ask
it.
Her to get out of the room. You got 5 seconds.
Go next door and puke and shit everything.
You know, I tend to, if I think one is coming, I'll do a little mooch around the house.
Yeah.
Get it out.
I've got to go and grab something in the other room. I weren't in there.
No, it keeps us. I agree with that. I'm not very.
Don't get me wrong. The odd one does sneak out.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but no, I think there's something.
If I can avoid it, I'll do that.
That's the rule. Because you're in a relationship.
I'm quite sort of private about my toilet.
Man.
So, like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to be like a prude about it, but rather be on my own doing that rather than sharing.
Where do you stand?
I don't mind
on...
in front of people. Yeah.
where do you stand?
Not like.
Where do you stand on shitting? In someone else's house, especially if it's the opposite sex and it's somebody you're with.
I would try and avoid it.
Yeah, yeah. But so that's obviously shows there is some shame in you about it.
I mean, there's shame in me, yeah. About many things.
But what, like, again, what is that? Let's boil it down. Yeah, no, I don't mean you do have to go at some point. But my thing is, I hate it. Like, I hate it if I need a shit early in the morning, late at night. because our bathroom is next to our bedroom.
Yeah. And or even, sharing a hotel room.
Or sharing, right. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't want anyone to hear.
We once stayed in a hotel divan that was so trendy it didn't have a bathroom door. And I was like, well, now I can't shit in my hotel room for 2 days.
Because why would they not do?
And there was a little, it was around the corner, like, so it was one of them big swanky
ones.
To
the bushes.
I had to shit out a window. But it was around the
corner. My bathroom was such. It was just a
bathroom,
window.
But no door. But then the room was, and the bed was over there. So Hannah could have been in bed and wouldn't have been able to see me. Yeah. There was literally no sound protection.
You're not really relaxed and safe.
No,
are you?
I need to be safe.
You
to
need
shit.
To feel safe.
Or you get that. You get the glass, like a bathroom.
Oh my
glass!
God.
And you get
like see your silhouette.
You see
your
size.
Just bending over and squeezing one out,
like a Banksy drawing.
It's great. I don't understand. And I don't understand the couples. You know, when you hear couples that say, "Oh yeah, we just, you know, they can shit in the same room."
No.
I was like, unless you're into that and you're doing it as a sex thing,
even
do
then.
It. Even but then you can't. You've got to if you're into it.
Yeah,
can't.
If you're into it, yeah.
But I mean, couples that could be like, "Oh, she was having a bath and I was having a shit." I'm like,
nah.
Shoot each other in the head. It.
What do you think the etiquette is if you're into that sexually, but maybe you're not?
Knock yourself
as a human being, you might go, but I feel a bit private about it. Actually going to do my toilet, if you saw to me.
Oh, do you mean some people would literally get shat on him?
I think
in bed as a sexual preference, but then also that might be a bit prudy about not wanting
when
to be seen.
I think if they're shitting on each other,
I don't know.
Then that's over, isn't it? They're cool.
Defined,
having a shit on each other with a copy of
cool.
The Sun.
I know what you mean. Some people would probably
split the two. I don't think you necessarily that. I don't think that's necessarily would be true.
Well, I suppose
I'm not into shit.
I suppose they link the, and this is not to get too graphic, but the, you know, it would be like in a sexual encounter, you know, you knocking one out. Mm. You know, they'll have seen you do that. Mm. But then if you were actually just knocking one out
surprise.
In the bathroom and they walk you in, you'd be embarrassed.
If they wake up, they see you doing that.
You should have kept that for me, darling. Yeah. Is that,
But you know what I mean? But if they just walked in on you doing it, you'd be embarrassed, right? Because it wasn't part
there
of
would
the...
Be, I got caught once in my life, which is like, fucking, I mean, that's good going.
By?
The police.
Outside the school.
I got sacked. Boy.
I was the bus driver.
I was in Argos. But by my partner at the time. But it was brutal.
How did you...
I was there, the computer's there, middle of the night.
Yeah.
But there's a hallway there going God, right to it. The end of the flat. So she's walked out of the dark. So there was a while...
She watched the fall. She walked towards
she
you as you were doing it.
She walked out of the
it.
Dark and walked straight past me, like, confused.
Just walked and jumped and out the window. Killed herself.
Just went and got back with her ex.
Opened a cupboard, got her go bag, just left.
I'm off. And what was the outcome of that?
She was, like, she was all tight, like, in the night. I think she got up for a drink. But she was, like, just started making a drink, like, confused. And
God.
And I was, like, I was just cracked up laughing hysterically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she was curious to see what I was watching.
Oh, God.
And she saw her mum on the screen. Not really. But, it was just embarrassing.
What
but
were you
I was
watching?
With her for a long
time. You don't have to say too graphic, but was it something that was...
No, it was just...
It wasn't outside the realm of, acceptability.
No, it was pretty... Vanilla.
Yeah. That's all right, I think. It went so quiet, didn't it? But that's what I mean. I do think that maybe is like the shit thing.
It is different because some people like to be choked in bed. But yeah. Out of contact.
Yeah. Normally,
you can't just try that unless you know.
Yeah, I don't like getting choked in pubs. Weirdly.
Yeah, that's my
plan like
entirely.
I like getting choked by the police.
By bouncers.
But not sexually. It's not my thing sexually, but I love it.
Yeah, there is. You're right. It's probably just two totally separate parts of the brain.
I mean, choked is very common, isn't it? But you kind of got to feel that one out, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Some people don't.
Well, yes. Yeah. I've actually, I think I read something about that.
You read it, did you?
in their eyes.
In one of my
as the lights went out.
Their gasping eyes. Have I read this wrong?
Oh God. But what I mean is about that sort of the prevalence of that in modern pornography and how it's affecting young people. Like
asphyxiation, the lack of oxygen helps with the orgasm intensify, doesn't it?
I know what your spiel is pre-sex to people, mate.
So sign it.
So do you want to come back to mine? I'm Julian, by the way. So you've been on Hinge long.
Oh God. What I mean is, people assuming that's the norm is quite common now. Young people are thinking that these things they're seeing on these horrific porns are the normal ones. It shouldn't be. They should always be on the outer realm of what you're getting, what you're into.
Do you know what? I doubt that.
What?
I think that's media horseshit.
What, saying that young people aren't into it?
Well, no, that young people are all about kind of having like this really extreme, they're all choking and slapping each other. And that's their entry level. I suspect that is sort of Daily Mail. Oh, look at the youth of today. I suspect that I'm sure some of them are doing that, as some margins of society or sections of society are always doing that. But I think probably they're just as anxious and as frightened about their sexual sort of forays at a younger age than everybody.
I would hope so.
And there's probably a lot of pressure on them as well, maybe more because of the internet and stuff.
That's what I mean. There's a more, I reckon my theory would be in the old days, not to get too old man-y, but you would learn as you went. You wouldn't have got all the info pre.
Right, yeah.
It's almost like,
That might make you more peculiar.
Maybe.
Because I suppose the flip side of thing, like...
I suppose then you uncover dodgy shit you're into.
But in a way, like, you sort of go, maybe people's weird and peccadilloes are born out of a certain pressure.
Yeah, maybe.
Actually, I'm not an apologist for pornography, but maybe like pornography has made sex and sexuality... has made it more prevalent, so perhaps less taboo.
I suppose.
Yes. People are maybe less kind of like, this is what I like, this is what I don't like.
There's a good thing to that as well. People are freer and they're less like kink shamed and stuff.
I suppose. And that would be the hope. The hope would be they see everything and they get to pick the ones rather than the way we had to do it, and then uncover you like being pissed off when you're 50.
You should feel a little bit ashamed afterwards.
But it's meant to be. Sex is meant to be a bit shamed.
Afterwards, once you've done.
Absolutely.
What did we just do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, it's meant, that's part of the feeling. It's meant to be like,
yeah.
And then afterwards you're like, oh,
uninhibited.
Shit.
Oh, shit, get out. I mean, not really.
Which, I don't know if I agree with that. Either you're doing some shameful stuff.
Bro, or pop over tonight.
You've got quite a Christian attitude towards it.
I know, I think mine comes from...
ashamed of it.
Mine comes from a Catholic.
It's Catholic, actually, yeah. You shouldn't be ashamed of it.
There's always a hint of... shame that comes with the fun.
Yes, but that is, yeah. But is that something you enjoy, or is that something that
just doesn't bother me? It's never stopped me.
Sexual kinks come from quite a deep kind of childhood place, I guess, don't they? Don't you think?
I would have thought so. Yeah,
like they're kind of created, from naught to four.
So where would getting pissed on come from?
Maybe. Because it's just, I don't know.
Don't know.
You're asking me for... You're into that, not really.
But, sorry.
Shut up and piss on me.
Maybe it's like a maternal sort of...
I suppose, yeah.
Little boy having a wee kind of
thing. Yeah, and you accidentally weed on yourself.
Like nappy, you know, like men who want to be in nappies and stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
That's quite... I've heard about that. That ain't me.
That ain't about that life, bruv.
That ain't a bit of me.
I reckon,
but piss that... I mean, it's almost like when you do something wrong, it's quite horny, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's born out of that.
Yeah, it's born out of like the... It's
also maybe like freedom of like... We're breaking down all physical barriers here.
Uninhibited.
Oh, I mean, and when you get into like that piss and shit stuff, that is, you're literally, there's nowhere else to go, is there? Like, you are really toying with the animal side of your psyche.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know, actually. We were going to ask you about your stroke, and somehow we're talking about pissing and shitting on each other.
Those aren't mutually exclusive.
So is that how you had the stroke?
Yeah. I Elvised it.
So when did... What happened then?
Well...
I'm like Michael Parkinson.
I'll drop into the story halfway through.
Oh, man. That is a real detour, isn't it? But yeah, we did get sidetracked.
So shall I have a good leading question to that?
Yeah, go on.
No, it was a good one.
I woke up having... It woke me up, basically, and I felt like my head was in a tumble dryer, and it was like the most intense headache, I suppose. But it literally felt like someone was liquidizing my brains.
Did it? Because you've had one before. Did it feel very different to the one before?
Well, yeah,
there?
Because I didn't wake up. They both happened in my sleep, but the first one I must have been milder.
Were your dreams? I know it must. Yeah, silly, yeah. No, it did. Were they vivid? Not prior to different.
I don't remember the dreams coming up to that. But I remember dreaming of like being in a big like Hawaii wave, just flipping.
Oh,
like that.
Really?
And then I kind of felt like I was in a tumble dryer. That must have been me kind of.
Yeah.
So what is
away.
A stroke then? The sign. What happens? What's
a blood
happening?
Clot.
It's a blood clot
In the brain.
Yep. So basically, you can have two types of strokes. Of the names that I ought to know, the different names. But I don't. I can't remember. I'm guessing. Either you have like an aneurysm in your head and something slightly explodes, which might be a tumour or something like that, or you have a blood clot in your body and it works to set up to your brain.
And an actual stroke is a symptom of that happening.
So the blood clot then causes a blockage in your arteries in your brain, and then that therefore is a sort of dam, and the bit behind that dies because it doesn't get any oxygen. So that's what's happened to me.
That's why people lose certain functions.
Certain functions, exactly. And for me, it's my eyesight. So it was affecting that a bit.
Right.
But it could be your motor skills or your speech.
And so what did you know instantly, having had one before? You were like, this is what I think.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
because before, you obviously, you do routines about it. Mm. You said you thought you had a bad hangover.
Yeah, yeah, because I did. It was that... You know, like if you have a proper hangover, or like maybe like a druggy one, where it feels like your brains have been liquidized.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It felt like that. Like, and this one felt like that, but it was much more painful. Yes. But because I was like, I mean, this was during, it was a lockdown, I think. And so I went straight to the hospital and walked into A&E and said, look, I think I've had a stroke, because I've already had one. So they, you know, they whistled.
Well, I was going to say, you must get that gives you a, you must get a bit of a, you know, straight through crew.
Absolutely.
If you've had one before, they're like, fucking get in here, mate.
They must have thought, he's trying it. He's trying to run out of queue. Fucking man's got a cold and he's coming in.
Yeah. So you've got about a 4 or 5 hour window before things can really, you know, that's why the FAST campaign is, you've got to get to hospital within a 5 hour window, and then they can inject you with a kind of anticoagulant.
And they did that.
So you're in a much better position to not have another stroke. Because I think the problem with strokes is that you can have others very quickly afterwards,
right,
and that can cause more damage, you know.
So
I got there pretty quickly, and then was just stayed in for 6-7 days or whatever.
So you got yourself there, a cab or something?
Yeah, do you know what, I walked, which sounds a little ludicrous.
Is it far?
No, it's about a mile.
I mean, that's pretty ludicrous.
Well, I see, it was kind of weird because I knew what it was, and I would kind of maybe I can walk this off. The other thing, I kind of felt like by the time I was on my own, if I speak to one of my neighbours or ring a cab, it's going to be more or less the same time as me walking there anyway. Yeah.
And
I was
like, an ambulance didn't...
Well, and same if I rang an ambulance, they don't come immediately necessarily. And also then I would have to admit to someone that I was having that. And I sort of went, I've got this, I can walk to hospital in 20
had
minutes.
Had your eyesight changed?
My eyes were fucked. But I was kind of...
Other people's panic can make it worse with
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
I just I sort I didn't want to. If I admitted it out loud, then everybody, then I've got.
You
that,
would just focus. Yeah, you had a goal, and that was it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and it was only when I actually
wants a paramedic helping you.
Don't want no ambulance like, distracting me
with his flashing lights, getting you there quick
with his medicine.
Or this buffoon doing anything. But it was what, you know, when I actually got and sat down in front of the nurse, and then I sort of fell to pieces and blubbed, like, because I've actually got myself there, and now it's in their hands, and then I sort of atrophied.
It's fucking scary. I mean, I've never had anything on the level of a stroke, but when I remember going into hospital when I had internal bleeding, and that thing of going from they see you, you tell them what's happening, they think they know what's happening. And then the jump from you talking to one doctor to people putting loads of shit
stuff
in you.
About you.
I remember just being in a bed surrounded by people with loads of tubes coming out of me within about 10 minutes.
10 minutes ago, I was fucked.
But like, I didn't know how. I knew I was fucked 10 minutes before, but you feel so much worse and more fucked when there's loads of machines around you and beeps stuffing you, and nurses prodding you and like checking stuff. And
it's
brutal.
The first stroke I had, I saw a consultant and he literally went around the corner and just went,
what a business one.
Think, man, think.
Did you have time for that?
It's called an undertaker. Yeah. You free now, mate.
And then I also had to see the guy. So I've got a hole in my heart.
Yeah.
Is it related to the?
Yeah. So it's a weird correlation between people who have strokes relatively young and have holes in their hearts, so they can there's just a big percentage of people that, although they can't find an actual
why,
well, they don't really know why,
but there's
a lot of statistics that it seems to happen to a lot of people with holes in their heart, so they go, there must be a link, but we haven't really figured out why.
Get to work, scientists, what are they doing?
Exactly. Always coming out with these weird
sandwiches.
Fall. This is the perfect way to make a cup of tea. Fucking kicks the strokes, you
fuck
anchor.
Off. Get off your lunch break, you fucking tosser.
I hate that when you see a news story. They found out the saddest day of the year. I don't want to know the saddest day of the year. I want to not die.
Saddest day of the year when I have a stroke, mate. Get in the fucking lab.
Is that useful?
Yeah. So you got a hole. So the hole in the heart is there anything they can do about that?
They close it, yeah.
Okay.
So the doctor who was
going to
close my, they can close it.
I didn't think of that.
It's like a,
we can close that. This guy's a genius.
That's what they do in that 7 years of medicine.
Yeah, not all of them are shirking, making sandwiches.
Just close it, next lesson.
But it's like keyhole surgery. So it's quite precise. Physical things. I was about to meet the bloke who's going to do it.
Yeah.
Who came around the corner,
blind
tripped
guy,
tripped over my table, and literally fell on his face.
Did he?
And I was like, this is the dude.
Can I have a second opinion, please?
It's going to do the intricate open heart surgery,
like Mr. Bean. Absolutely knocking shit.
Pretty embarrassing.
All Betty comes in.
Yeah, Dr. Frank Spencer's coming.
Roller skating down the fucking hill.
Oh man, it's but then so you're in for 7 days. It's shit being in hospital as well.
It's horrible.
Did you feel reassured quite quickly, or what, how long was the fear, the panic, the impending you might die, man?
Fucking hell.
I mean, it must have been though. It must have been
it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
I think maybe I'm not wired that
you
way,
look
but
really
I don't
well.
Tempt. Thank you. I don't it's tend to opinion. Think about the. Could it happen again? Or I don't worry about that. It could, I suppose.
That's quite rare because that's one that I read a book about strokes. Weirdly,
what the band?
Huh? But there's a book called like A Stroke of Insight by a famous American doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
Who had severe like
she did a TED talk, didn't
coma
she?
Yeah. Stroke.
I know who you mean.
And she talks about her experience when she was basically comatose, and she still remembers parts of it. And then she talks about, like, in it, I think it's covered that thing of one of the biggest problems with strokes is that the fear afterwards of, it's quite
a serious
fear. Like Trevor Crook, who had a stroke, he had a long-standing thing afterwards where it was almost...
Could he have a wank again?
Yeah. when could he
go to the fetish club again?
No, but his was like...
This don't happen when I'm in the gallows.
When I'm in the piss pool.
When I'm just floating around in the shit paddling pool. He's got his kinks, is what we're saying. Yeah,
but his thing was, he always had this paranoia at every point in the aftermath. It takes months and months before that passes that you're not going to have one at that moment.
Yeah.
And if you looked into when it, like, and ways to kind of keep healthy.
Yeah, so I try, I mean, because it's a bit unknown and they don't really know what really caused it, that's they're sort of, because there's nothing else wrong with me apart from the hole in my heart, they go, that must be the case, but not 100%. So it's still a bit unknown.
They can't talk in absolutes.
Yeah, no,
also, I think that's the thing where, because obviously you're clearly fit, healthy, you know, you're
beautiful,
not. People, when you hear about strokes, often you think, you're going to think of someone who's like some sort of some Henry wallop. The Eighth motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eating chicken legs.
Just some wonky boat race.
But you know what I mean? You think, I know it sounds not body shaming, but you do think somebody who doesn't look after themselves and is in bad shape would have a stroke.
Well,
the fact that you're in good shape, yeah, that makes people more like, fuck, anyone could have one.
Well, two things to that is that maybe if I was a bit Henry VIII ish, I might be in a box.
Might have eight wives.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, it might have saved me. But also, I might have.
Yeah. Was it eight? Yeah.
Seven. Yes.
Seven wives.
Wasn't it?
I thought it was six.
He might have had some side tings.
Do we know how many wives Henry VIII
had? I think it's six because there's that musical Six.
It's called, yeah, it's six. Oh, I was correct. Yes. He wasn't called Henry VIII because he had eight wives.
Oh, yeah.
It was because that's how much weed he liked.
Yeah. That's an eighth of coke every night.
He probably did, though, didn't he? He didn't look healthy at all.
No, God, no.
He washed those seven partridges down with like 8 grams of coke.
What about like alternative stuff? Have you tried?
Well, I mean, so
get some crystals, you'll be all right.
Yeah, like crystal. It's funny, I'm drawn to cult crystal.
Mine there we go. But this is why I've never had a stroke.
Well, yeah. So yoga really helps.
Yeah.
Because I've sort of had, and I'm eating really well because my cholesterol was through the roof as well. So I'm eating really well. I started meditating as well, which I did find myself saying the wankiest sentence. You know, I think it was like, I sort of woke up and I went, oh, I spoke to my partner. I was like, I need to do my TM. It will really center me.
So you did a TM course.
Like, I need to shoot.
Yeah.
I did it online. You know, just sort of read up a bit about it.
It is a bit of a con trend. Like that TM, for people that don't know, is transcendental meditation. And you basically go on a course.
You pay
and it's fucking
shoot.
Expensive, man.
Yeah. I did it.
And you get given your own mantra. But you like, you can learn meditation techniques and just pick a mantra. You can. There's loads.
Yeah,
available.
There's quite a lot online telling you exactly the same thing.
Yeah, the
Hindu
fact that you're
ones.
Paying for it can. I mean, it's still like can kind of help you commit.
Oh, it sure, definitely
yeah.
No, gives you the impetus.
No, and I'm scratching the surface of what TM is, but I that's really helped just to kind of calm my head. Whether it's biologically doing me any good or not, I don't know. I mean, I mean, we could all walk out of here and get hit by a truck, you know, like
I use the crossing, but
good. But you still, you know, there could be some shady brakes on them trucks. So I,
it's true,
you know,
isn't
philosophically,
it?
You can live your life like in fear of everything.
Yeah, totally.
And I try not to think like that.
Yeah. What's
and maybe
the
that's
famous, you know, the Stoic quote. Is it in Seneca or someone says? Is it like? Remember that you must die, and it's like a sort of
Marcus Aurelius,
a daily thing you're always meant to remember. Like remind yourself every day that you could die at any moment.
It'll help you live.
This is a carpe diem sort of thing, really. That's sort of not overly wanky and overly earnest, but I think it's maybe I just not wired that way. I don't live in fear of it happening again.
Yeah,
good.
I hope not. I'm trying to be as healthy as I can, so that I stand as good a chance if it happens again of surviving. But none of us know.
And where's your eyesight at currently?
I've lost 50% of it.
So
it's the right hand side in both eyes. So actually, if I look forward now, I can't see Julian at all, which is absolutely brilliant.
I wonder why you've been looking that way the whole time. You just want your ears to go for the next.
I can hear this incessant noise in my
Carl
right.
Carl starts asking, "So what did you do preceding it?"
Can I just cut out this? I just want to cut this bit out of mine, the middle.
It just looks like this camera.
Just peripheral.
Yeah, there we go. This is the.
That's it. Yeah, that's what I can see.
I did that the wrong side.
Good.
So the whole right hand side.
It's my right hand side.
How do you? Is there a way? Have you worked out how to? Does that mean you constantly have to sort of?
Yeah,
turn your
head? They actually sort of taught me that to sort of scan to just to make sure everything is kind of not. I'm not going to miss something that is there.
Like an owl, you're constantly just.
I'm like an owl,
swinging your head around.
Paul Scholes in his prime.
Yeah, exactly. Just sees everything.
Yep, I'm owling it, and then slightly at a sort of
angle to
the world. And so these glasses are slightly tinted.
Yeah.
So because my eyes are... See, this is kind of weird because... because my eyes are actually fine. It's my brain. Mm. So my eyes are still seeing everything.
Mechanically, they work.
Yeah. My brain is still getting the information and it's moving the information to bits of my brain that do work.
Yeah,
and so... It looks like stuff is moving in my eyes. So I've got this sort of, it's not like I'm just blind and it's dark or quiet. It's kaleidoscopic.
Right.
So, and under light, especially like if you've got like individual lights like this, it sets off all, you know, I'll have 30 lights going on and moving around. Yeah. So it's quite difficult.
That's what, is it true? Like the brain, some parts of it, it's almost like some of your brain dives in and takes over function.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah. Mm. Which is why, I mean, this doesn't help me because if people have stroke, bits of your brain can be rewired. You can rewire your brain.
Yeah.
With like motor skills and speech, various bits of your brain will do it. Mm. But unfortunately, with the ocular bit, it's very specific, and that's the only bit that will do it. So if that's damaged, your stuff.
The occipital lobe, isn't it? The one at the.
It's right at the back. The back.
Are you on Google or are you just?
No, I'm just well clever.
Oh, wow.
It was in psychology A level, I think I learned about that. Is it difficult on stage with spotlights and things? Mm. Is that?
Well, I've been sitting down because. Well, firstly, my balance is a bit poor because I think that's just an eyesight thing.
Yeah.
And then if I sit still, then so does everything else for me. Whereas if I'm moving around, I'm the lights are therefore moving around. So that helps. It kind of makes me not anxious about falling off a stage. I think because I get quite a lot of information, it's a bit like what I was talking about, TM. I probably need ways to kind of calm myself down. And sitting down in a gig helps balance wise. It helps my eyes. And I think it probably just helps my equilibrium.
I just remembered I did a gig in Nottingham about 2 months ago. It's an outdoor gig before things were like fully open. And it's that thing where like there was the lights on stage. It was outdoors. They were so strong. You couldn't, not only could you not see the audience, you just couldn't see anything. It was just light. And I didn't get my bearings.
They'd all left.
No, I didn't get my bearings at the start of my set. And I thought I was looking straight down the middle. I did my whole set just like looking off that direction.
What does he do?
It was just brutal. So if anything, if there was a stool at least facing the direction,
they might have
been.
Thought you were blind.
Yes, right. Well, God.
He's Chris McCausland.
Has Chris McCausland been shopping in TK Maxx?
So what's out the window? You can't drive.
No.
Can't ride bikes?
Legally, if I was my own mother, I wouldn't let myself ride a bike, been riding a bike, but not on busy roads. I wouldn't do it in London. Like, I can physically ride a bike, but if things come at me quite fast, I don't see it till really close, I'm a bit of a liability. But down a sort of, you know, I physically can do it. And in quiet places,
you don't have to turn your head. You can move your eyes and see these places,
But
apparently that is a really de-stressing thing to do.
What, turn your eyes left
and
right?
Look far that way and far that way.
Right.
Like distressing or de-stressing?
De-stressing.
Like
it's distressing for everybody else. Yeah.
Everyone else is well stressed. You walk in a bar looking like an assassin.
The Terminators is coming.
Don't hold a gun like that.
You look like that doll from Squid Game.
So not really much else other than driving, I don't think. And then I was banned from driving anyway, so it didn't really make much difference.
Oh, what was that for?
Speeding.
Oh, well, you got 12 points.
Yeah.
Okay, because I got 12, but they let me keep my license. Because I
did you plead?
Court. Yeah.
Well, I was. It happened during lockdown.
I had to suck someone's dick.
The police officers.
I think it was a policeman anyway. And a van.
I should have done that.
One of these unmarked rental van policemen, you know them lot.
It was an unmarked policeman. Yeah, it was just a dirty Mac.
So that's fine. So it wasn't too big an issue to drive then.
No, I mean that's a pain. But so I can't drive. Can't play table tennis. You know,
what a loss.
What a loss.
Was that a game that you liked?
I did like a bit of table tennis. Yeah. But I can't see anything on that right-hand side, and I'm right-handed. But you know, that's hardly an impact on my life. But the driving's a bit.
Yeah,
I think so. It's an adjustment to my life rather than, you know, life over. Like my friend of mine, his boss had a stroke, and he's like, he's just literally can't do it. He's got to do something else completely. Whereas, and also, you think actually, given our jobs, I can actually capitalize on it because I've had a load of jokes out.
Yeah,
you know,
Yeah.
There's not many people who could actually use their stroke to their advantage.
There's literally, and, like, you think about it, there's not much that can stop a stand-up's career apart from their behaviour.
Apart from if they're shit.
Well, that, even
you've
that doesn't
be
stop
shit. Yeah. You've got to get shit or cancelled, basically.
Yeah.
But you literally, like, the lost voice guy proves you don't even need a voice. Like, yeah. You can fucking just have an iPad.
There's deaf comics, blind comics.
Yeah. It's a very, you know, it's
dumb comics. Do you know what I mean?
Are you eligible for the Paralympics?
Under what? What would my discipline be?
Well, I mean, just pick one, isn't it? That's the thing with, like, you know, I was trying. There is a Paralympian who used to be an Olympian and then got disabled, and I don't want to. This is a minefield, but then now is in the Paralympics for a different.
As a football.
That's a different thing.
Well, there was a rugby player sport. Who ended up in a wheelchair, played wheelchair, and he was paralysed from the waist down, played wheelchair rugby, got injured in that, and is now paralysed from the neck down because of wheelchair rugby.
So it's in the new spin-off of the Paralympics.
I think God hates him.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think at that point, maybe just turn it in, mate. you don't need the sport.
At least he, like, tried.
Yeah, totally.
Is he doing anything now?
Watching stuff.
Asking for his tea with his forehead.
Oh, oh God!
Sorry, I can say these things.
You can.
You two reprobates.
Yeah. I'm not on camera.
We've said worse. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think I might have told you this before, but I had quite a funny thing when I was on the stroke unit, and because my eyesight's poor. I went to the loo. Did I tell you this story? So there was, like, it was in the middle of the night. I went to the toilet because I can't see very much, and the toilet was on the right hand side. I went into the loo, pulled my trousers down, and then sat on a bloke who was already on the toilet. It's like, so I was too blind to see him, and he was too blind to stop me.
Right? You're too lazy to get up.
Yeah. But then he was like, he really brilliant, because he just, like, he's really English, where he was sort of like, rightly sorry, old man. Rather than like, get the fuck
there,
off.
Mate.
Excellent.
I can. I've got a disability badge.
Got the best excuse in the world for being a creep.
So there's some quite funny things as well.
Are there any other ways that it's kind of, would you say, are positives about it, apart from the material, which is...
Well, I suppose like a brush with death is quite... Or at least, you know, whether... I don't know how ill I actually was, but whether something where you start to really question whether you might not survive... Mm. Is quite good for kind of going, life's not a rehearsal, get on with it, enjoy the things, you know, carpe diem, as I said, because you sort of realise that it's not going on forever, which I think is, you certainly when you're younger, you just think, you know, I'm immortal, nothing's going to hurt me. And of course, that's not, I mean, you know it's not true, but you don't actually sort of...
Yeah. There's a difference between knowing that in your head and...
And a brush, a sort of like a little bit of a brush with the sort of slightly fruitier element of it sort of makes you go, no, live your life. So, and you get things in perhaps a bit of perspective of what's definitely important and what isn't. And also, like, people come out of the woodwork that surprise you, you know, like, and people are really... kind. And that's been really nice. You know, I have a lot of support from loads of people, and lack of that I've made a little list of. But you know, no, I don't mean that. But like, but people have really good and and been, and that's, you know, I'm quite used to kind of going, I'm all right, I can do it, I can sort of pick myself up, and I'm
we
probably
need others, though.
Yeah, we need others, and I think without wanting to be overly flowery about it, it's quite nice to ask for help and sort of feel okay about asking for help, because you don't often, and feel okay to sort of ask and to receive it, and to, you know, I mean, there's a big debate currently, isn't there, of course, about mental health, particularly in men, and not being able to talk about it, and I think I don't mind talking about this, and I don't mind talking about bleaker days, because maybe because I've got an excuse. You know what I mean? Like I can go, oh, it's not. I'm not just being a bit wet. I've had that experience, so people kind of, it legitimizes it. So that's positive, and it's kind of, you feel kind of, there's a sort of human quality to it. That is good.
Well, I think that's a suitable time to wrap up. Nice ending. Really, a podcast of two halves, that, wasn't it?
To be honest. I don't know if we redeemed it.
I mean, it's absolute filth for half an hour, and then a nice tale of
redemption, recovery. And
recovery. What, any admin we need to do? Obviously, people can find you online.
Yes.
Yeah. You do. You've got. So have you got two Instagrams?
Yes, I have an. So I have an art. I do a bit of visual art, and I have a Marcus Bergman Artworks Instagram, as well as a normal one.
Yep. And you decided. You gave me a lovely wedding present. That it was. It's a painted skateboard. With me, my wife, and daughter on it. It's lovely. It's taking pride of place in our front room.
Lovely.
But so people can find you online, see you gig, but you're back gigging relatively normally,
gigging.
Schedule wise.
Yep.
We're out and about.
Cool.
That's it. There we go. Good admin.
Follow our YouTube channel.
YouTube.com/WeArteVI. Yep.
Please give it a subscribe and a like.
Patreon.com/WeArteVI for extra bits.
Thanks to all our patrons. It was good to catch up.
Catch
the
up
other
was very fun. We're doing another one next month, and it will be every where month. We get together with patrons.
On a sweet Sunday at midday, maybe.
Yeah, nice. But other than that, cheers for coming in, mate.
Thank you for having me.
Really fun.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Vittorio, over there on the desk.
That's all right.
And for everyone else.
On the decks, mate.
On the wheel of steel.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Oh, Nick, you died of AIDS in an alleyway.